On today's episode of The Cooligans, we talk about so much. We talk about Europe. Oh my God, so much going on, especially in England. Arsenal lose, but so do City. Does it matter? Liverpool seems to think so.
We shall see. MLS playoffs as well. A lot of big games. Inter Miami lose, which is a shock to people. Columbus Crew eliminated, and the coin toss kings are here. We'll tell you about doing the coin toss at an MLS Cup playoff game. It was wild. So all this and more today on The Cooligans.
We got a lot of show, but first, I want to talk to you about this. I celebrate. My wife just got a new job.
Congratulations.
That's right. Everybody not just babysitting me.
Everybody loves a new job. Okay.
She got a new job in the hospital, right? She's very excited about it. Wasn't a huge fan of the job she had before, so she's really excited for this new one. So we go celebrate, right?
Yes.
You gotta celebrate. Carter, you're married now. You got to celebrate. Carter's back, everybody.
Congratulations, also, Carter. Yeah, yeah. Carter, married. A newly married
but
man.
This isn't about him, okay? This is about my wife's new job.
This is about somebody who's been married a much longer time than you.
Yeah. You bought him the totem pole now, kid. So we go celebrate. Is how you celebrate, right? You could either get flowers and do that, or you could be like, yo, let me take you out. Let's go out, right? I went, let's go out. Right? Because I didn't want to walk to get flowers. So I said, let's go out. So I got us a nice reservation at the bar so we could talk to the bartender and other people, you know what I mean? Make it a festive thing as opposed to just us two sitting at the table. Next to us, older woman, right? She's probably like close to 70, 60 something, right? She got a steak. Right, it was a steakhouse. She got a steak. She cut it open. She picked it up. Bartender's in the middle making a drink. She goes, no. Hands it back to the bartender. The bartender goes, was there not enough heat on that? She goes, come on. You know how I like it. And he goes, I'm going to put more heat on it. She goes, in fact, I'm full. Wrap that up. I got other food to eat. So he goes, I'll put a little more heat and then I'll wrap it up. She's like, thank you. And I was like, I told my wife, I said, I'm in love with this woman.
Okay.
Who is this woman?
Right, yeah. Right? Honey, you have a new job and everything.
Congratulations on the new job.
I found the love of my life.
Yeah. here's how much better it gets. Random conversation. We start talking to her, right?
Sure.
Turns out my wife works with her niece, right? Crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Her niece is a nurse. We just start asking.
So you have an in.
Right? We have an in. I'm like, do you remember me? I couldn't help but notice. right? I said, you spoke to the bartender like you know him very well. And she goes, I eat here 3 times a week. She goes, I'm retired. All the kids are out of my house. I own the building. She goes, my job now is I help other people fight foreclosure. She's like, I'm a lawyer for many years. Now I help people not get their house foreclosed on.
All right.
And I said, hey, any of your clients who lose, would you mind giving me their information so I could buy a foreclosed house? And she goes, sweetie, none of my clients lose.
Oh.
Yo, right? And she goes, I eat here 3 times a week. She goes, I got another place that I go 2 times a week. I said, oh, you're bringing food home with you. You're bringing a whole steak home. She goes, I'm also bringing the fried chicken plate home. She's like, I got someone coming to see me.
Ooh, hey. All right.
Hey.
Grandma.
Hey, I'm getting it in.
She's taken care of.
She goes, I sit here. She goes, everybody knows me. They all walk up and say hi. I don't even need to order. They already know what I want.
Mm.
And I go, oh, so you don't cook? And she goes, oh, I cook. She's like, I'm from Grenada. She's like, trust me, sweetie, I cook. Starts pulling up on her phone photos of all the food she makes. She goes, I got a big house. I invite like 50 people over for Thanksgiving. I go, when's our invitation? She's like, you invited? Can you eat? And my wife goes, look at him.
Can you know, I?
Can he eat? And she goes, I'll cook for you. We got a lot of food left over.
Wow.
She goes, I hope you like Caribbean food. I go, you make bacon saltfish? And she's like, what you know about bacon saltfish? Bro, we had a whole conversation about food. Gave us her business card. I said, y'all are coming over for Thanksgiving. If not, come over the next day. We still got food.
Okay. So I'm just trying to parse and figure out. Was she flirting with you
no.
or both of you?
I think started out me flirting with her. It was really when I heard her return the steak in the most respectful manner. I will never return food, but she did it in the most respectful way possible.
Got it.
I really got to stay on myself. Damn.
The king of... Alexis is the king of wearing nice things and always getting a
No one said anything?
I didn't notice it until now.
Oh, man. All right. We'll cover it like this.
All right.
What you would call it? The reason, maybe it started with me flirting with her, right?
Okay,
just because I was enthralled with the situation, but then I realized I found out what I want to be when I grow up, and it's this woman.
This old lady.
This old Grenadian
wealthy lady
woman
that only focuses on, you know, the restaurant. She has a routine of
She goes out to eat. She's getting food for her side piece or whatever. Her main squeeze for me, it'll be Donna. And I'll be like, baby girl, I'm getting you food. From one of the three bars I go to every night.
I love it. All right. Well, this is...
Is that not what you want in this world?
I don't... probably not exactly that, you know? It's a little... I don't know to what age, but I think I look for a little bit more adrenaline in my life. You know, I like.
You've never returned a steak. That is adrenaline, my friend. That is adrenaline.
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody, here on Yahoo Sports. As always, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We have a lot to discuss today. Big, action in Europe, in Premier League.
MLS playoffs.
MLS
coming up.
Playoffs as well.
Let's start in England,
Too much. It's a big week. Election day is tomorrow. Pressure, everybody. Okay.
I'm not scared at all.
Okay. We're all just confident. That's why we use this button. yeah. That's to express how confident
we may be doing this podcast from the gulag.
So let's start in England with the Premier League, because Manchester City lost finally their first game of this season. So that's like every other team should be chomping at the bit, right? Like, yes, finally gain some ground.
What a good opportunity for Arsenal to really close that gap.
Nah, bro, they are just as far back as they were before, because Arsenal lose as well. Bro, so just City losing the game. I mean, of course they're going to drop points in general. Losing to Bournemouth is kind of crazy.
I don't know, dude. Bournemouth played really well.
They there's always gonna be that bogey team that catches City here and there.
Bournemouth just beat Arsenal this year too. I mean, they seem to be a lot of people's bogey teams. Iraola's doing some things. Tyler Adams also played in the game, which is great. Looked really good against Doku.
So the but Arsenal not capitalizing and losing their game is just so. Kind of a little shocking, a little, you know, obviously disappointing as well.
Disappointing for sure. Is it that shocking, though? I mean, first of all, I don't understand why you wouldn't start Ben White. I get that you're without Odegaard. You got no Calafiore. You got to make some changes. But to not start Ben White, and you could see, you know, just there was no freedom running forward. You'd see Partey kind of slide into that spot. There was just not that freedom running forward, especially for Saka. It made Havertz have to come really deep into the midfield. He would be standing next to Marino back there, almost like a double pivot, in a way where I'm like, this isn't look good. This isn't helping in any way, shape, or form. It just felt very listless, if ever very lifeless. And I think that's why there was so much negativity after the match. I don't know if you saw Troops put up a Arteta out, so he's
back to Arteta. Really?
Yeah, he's back in that camp.
Thomas Partey.
That's the October surprise. I think.
Oh wow! I didn't think it was gonna have such an influence, but look at that. Thomas Partey at right back is just you look at the lineup and you're just like, you can just see the injuries.
Yeah, and he did okay in the previous match, but clearly that's not the best for Bukayo Saka. You need someone that's more comfortable running forward, and I think what you were hoping is Thomas Partey tucks in, gets in front of William Saliba almost as a second in a double pivot, allows Mikel Merino to run forward. Wasn't really working. Gabriel Martinelli, something's going on with this guy, man. He seemingly doesn't have the danger factor, that spark that he had previously, especially on the ball. He does track back really well. You know, there's only so much you can do if you're Kai Havertz. If you're up top and no one's giving you the ball, you got to check back. It's just not as good in the midfield.
It just feels like not having, obviously not having a proper right back. What am I forgetting his name? The Japanese
Takahiro Tomiyasu.
Tomiyasu, where is he? Is he injured?
He is injured.
Yeah, okay.
He's been starting more on the left, but he started out as a right back, right center back. Right
but like back. not having Odegaard, not having a proper right back. There is, I thought Leandro Trossard also looked a little
looked
out
terrible.
Of place.
He looked terrible.
Just a couple of misplaced passes and
you don't
like that.
Often start Leandro Trossard and Gabriel Martinelli. Normally you don't start both of them. It's usually one or the other. And I think that was a failed experiment. This was just a weird lineup. It almost felt like they were looking past the Newcastle match.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, the look, who got the assist was Anthony Gordon.
Yeah. What a world class pass.
The pass. And then
Alexander, that's a worldie of a cross.
Yeah.
Dude.
And then Isak with the goal. Like, so Newcastle, I think, played well. They were playing pretty confidently. And also, I thought they had the ball more than I kind of, I don't know what the possession numbers are, but they had the ball more than I expected them to.
They controlled the match regardless of whether they didn't have,
they didn't have that 36%, but there were like stretches of like they just had it more than I even kind of expected.
I'll tell you this one, they were in more dangerous position. I don't know if this website doesn't do field tilt, but I bet you Newcastle were in more dangerous positions. They were in the final third more than Arsenal were,
sure,
at least until the end of the match. And I think these numbers are also skewed by the end of the last 20 minutes. Arsenal really took
over.
Yeah,
they were. Yeah,
there was a lot more shots on goal. A lot more of the stats came from that last half of the match. But it was just, this was a boring game. This was a tough game to watch, regardless of who you root for. This is not the Arsenal of old. And I think you see Arsenal playing more defensive and sitting back, and it's 1-0 to the Arsenal. And everyone's saying, oh, it's gentrified Tony Pulis. He's not he's not the Pep Guardiola guy anymore.
Yeah.
I get all that. This is one of those matches where you're like, oh, that you're not just doing that because it's the best for you to get points. That's the only option you have right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This wasn't a tactical shift. This was this is all we got. And that's a really rough place to be if you're an Arsenal.
Yeah, and they needed and like the last few games, you know, especially without Odegaard, they've been thriving off of like just great set pieces,
dead ball
stuff. I don't remember if this was a set piece, but the ball that Declan Rice, the header that he just missed, like went right by the bar. And it's just like, dude, like that was the they should have gotten a result.
That should have been a draw.
That should have been it. And it's just a game of inches or whatever.
And it sucks to say this, but in that moment, I'm thinking, oh, you were 100 million pounds, bro.
Yeah. I mean, that was a great.
And I get that he thought the guy in front of him would, but that's an excuse you make for someone who's not of that quality.
Yeah. You don't necessarily think of Declan Rice getting on the end of headers. And
but remember when he first came to Arsenal last season, there were those moments where he's winning games late at the far post.
Yeah.
Now he misses a big header in a big match.
Big opportunity. That ends up...
But it's all okay because City lost. So this never happened.
But Liverpool won. I think we're being a little...
dismissive?
Dismissive not the word, but we're underestimating, I think, Liverpool a little bit because they have looked great this season. And the fact that City lost and Arsenal lost is just really, really great for Liverpool. But Liverpool on 25 points... and Arsenal at 18. This is a real gap for first place. And
7 points is not terrible.
It's not terrible, but I think Liverpool have looked good enough where.
Yeah, but Liverpool have only started really playing tough teams. Remember, this is still the same team that lost at home to Newcastle. Newcastle also. To Nottingham Forest.
Oh, yeah.
Nottingham Forest again in third place. So no joke. But Nuno Espirito Santo is doing some crazy stuff. But at the end of the day, I think Liverpool are still haven't proven themselves, and I still think they got that winner gap. You know, Arne Slot doesn't understand really what that's like. This is brutal. Teams lose. Better managers and better teams have lost the league by not really preparing this team for these winter breaks that don't happen. You know, they play right through Boxing Day. All this, it's really tough, especially with the amount of competitions that Liverpool's taking part in and want to succeed in. Liverpool's not one of these clubs that are like, you get us the Carabao Cup. You did good this year. It's not enough.
Sure, but they Liverpool are in Europa, right?
No.
Oh, they are in Champions League. Sorry. The
year before they were in.
That's right. They are, I don't know. I feel like I think they might have enough to do it. I think they could possibly win the league and really, really surprise both City and Arsenal, because I think the Christmas break or the Christmas time when obviously there's like three games in 7 days or whatever, is going to be tough, but it's tough on everybody.
Right. But other teams understand it more. They're preparing their players.
But I just, especially the game against against Brighton, Liverpool, like, legit look like a proper team, man.
If I'm not mistaken, they were down 2-0 in that match. Right?
They were down 1-0.
1-0.
And they ended up winning 2-1.
But the week before, they were also down early, right? If I'm not mistaken.
I do not recall. But
What I'm saying is they've been susceptible. Remember going back last season where City were getting scored on the first shot on target,
mm-hmm.
like almost like something like 12 out of 14 matches. Sure. It was like a crazy run. That shows you that there's those moments of weakness, but they were deep enough to not only get around it, but also towards the end of the season, they went on these crazy runs every year. Pep Guardiola understands you need to hold your momentum to the end. You need to go big at the end. That's when you need to sort of start to get all the points. So for a team like Liverpool, they just don't know that yet. It's very, very likely that it doesn't matter. It's very likely that they continue to play this way. But I think it's just as likely that they do slip up because they don't have, and maybe there's enough smart soccer people in there to be mm-hmm. like, hey man, you got to prepare for the matches. This is what's coming up that's different. And they have a plan. But my suggestion is that it's going to be a little bit of a shock.
I think they look like they're having fun. That's the thing that
I've noticed that too.
Scares me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like out of all the teams that have challenging for this title, they look like they're having the most fun doing it.
Yeah.
And the fact that even like Diogo Jota, who he's dealing with an injury, right?
Yeah, he was out for this game.
Rib injury. And the fact that, you know, players like Darwin Nunez, who we all sort of kind of mock and like, oh, he missed great chances or whatever, but he's always like in like some lethal position to really cause some damage.
It's just whether he can actually get it on frame or not.
Yeah. But no, Brighton is a team that's not nothing to sneeze at. And they've made other teams look bad this season. They also arguably they Brighton could have won this lead. Game. They gave up leads 2 weeks in a row, which is obviously disappointing for them. But in general, they look pretty good. So the other one, Tottenham, absolutely, I would say almost humiliate Aston Villa, which is kind of wild.
This is big.
A 4-1 win, even though Aston Villa, you go in, especially with the success they're having in Champions League, bring out the closer, John Duran.
Yeah, yo, they tried. Does he even cast on both hands, by the way? He's like wrapped on both hands. Fight a bear? He came into the game like...
Is he doing the double Vardy?
Pretty much. I don't even know how you'd look this up.
He looks like a prize fighter.
See what I'm saying?
Oh, no, he just won.
Look.
Which picture?
Against Aston Villa. He had two fingers on the other hand, and he had like... multiple. See the first one? The absolute first one.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, he has he has tape around his fingers and he has the
wrist and knuckles on the other hand, but around his thumb, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he looks like he's like...
he stopped getting taped up for a fight to go out and play soccer.
What was that the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie where...
Bloodsport,
where he would put that was the wrapping you use, and you put your hands in like wax, and then you put in broken glass, and then you just start fighting.
Bro,
somebody.
Back when movies were good, dude.
Back in my day,
remember what he do? He broke the pill and blew it in the guy's face.
Dude. Come on,
that guy was like evil in every movie. If any movie you traveled to Asia to fight. This guy was the evil guy in all of those movies.
Yeah, for any young folks that may not know.
Oh, go to the bottom, second row, last picture. Yeah, it's the last picture.
This one.
This is it. This is everything you need to know about the movie. He's blinded and still wins.
Bloodsport, if you haven't seen Bloodsport, one of the most important movies of our childhood.
I honestly think this is canon. This is important.
This was just such a great movie. This is after Rocky, but this is like Karate Rocky.
This is Karate Rocky.
And Karate Rocky is
this
probably
is
the best.
Karaki.
Anyway,
it's hard to explain how important the dude on the left was, and how important it was for him to lose in every film.
Classic. And Bloodsport, I think, had the famous.
Pull up my guy's photo right here. Look at him, muscled up. Dude.
Yeah, I don't know who this. What's this guy's name? But he's like a legendary '80s karate villain. And like,
this guy puts so much respect on like what it was. He was from a different country in every film. He was Japanese in one film, Korean in another.
This is back in the day when people weren't, you
know. This guy's probably American. This guy might be Native American, to be honest with you. And they're like, nah, yo, you Asian in this film.
This is when, yeah, they just like, they cast you as whatever you want. It's like similar to, who was the director that we had from the Beckham documentary?
Fisher Stevens.
Who played...
like a Mexican dude.
No,
right?
He played the Indian guy. Johnny Short Circuit. The movie Short Circuit. Which is the 80s were a different time. Yeah, bro. I don't know what to tell you. They really weren't as sensitive.
You look
too.
Up who's playing this Indian guy in a movie and it's like a white dude. You'd be like, ugh.
Yeah, but you know what? He like apologized for.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't know. I didn't know. I had no money and someone offered me a film. I wasn't gonna say anyway, no.
Okay. So, what else? What are the games? Villa lost kind of embarrassingly. United Chelsea, kind of a dull game.
Yeah, but okay. So, this got brought up this morning. I would love to hear your take on this. So, obviously, I work with someone who's married to an assistant coach at Top Flight.
Mm-hmm.
And he was watching United Chelsea and he noticed that Ruud van Nistelrooy was wearing a turtleneck and a blazer and a long coat.
He looked sharp.
He looked very managerial-like. Uh-huh. And he said, oh, that's a no-no. It's like an unspoken rule. Like an assistant coach should be dressed more like how the club players or the assistant coaches dress in like the, you know, like track suits. You're not supposed to dress up on the sideline like that.
Yeah.
It's almost, you know, usurping attention or some type of power grab.
Mm.
Or maybe you're doing this in the face of the new manager.
Yes, because Amorim is obviously starting soon.
Yeah, and in the post game, I don't know if you heard this, Van Nistelrooy goes, I'll do whatever it takes. Obviously, I'm gutted for what happened to Erik ten Hag, but I came back as an assistant to help. I'm now the interim because I want to help this club, whatever I can do. And then to be the assistant again when the new manager comes in. And the guy in the room goes, oh, have they told you they want you to be the assistant? He goes, no one's communicating. So it's like, yo, is he kind of doing like, I'm of two minds. Maybe he's putting himself in the shop window of like, look, I'm managerial.
Yeah, yeah. Or even, yeah, as just a potential other
club. Hire
yeah,
me.
Yeah, of course.
Or.
I look the part.
Yeah, yeah. Or is he being like, who's this Amorim guy? You should have stuck with me.
That's an interesting thing. I mean, I guess that there is a way as comedians, we have like sort of unwritten rules.
Like the featured. Doesn't dress better than the headliner.
Sure, something like that.
Or you don't do the jokes he's about, like, the same topics. The
same topic, like, yeah.
Yeah, like, if the guy does a lot of crowd work, you don't do crowd work.
Right, right. Or at the very least, if, like, you know, maybe the host will like, hey, there's a guy, you know, wearing, like, a clown mask or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You tell the headliner, like, yo, there's a weirdo in that table. Like, yeah, at least, yeah, like, yeah. Maybe you might have to address it.
Well, you do that. You know, you do those jokes about Sweden. Yo, there's a table of Swedish people.
Yeah.
The feature is not going to go up and be like, I'm going to go talk to the Swedish people and, like, burn that out.
Correct, correct.
You leave it for the headline.
Exactly. So, within coaching, there's clearly,
yeah.
You know.
And Van Nistelrooy, headliner level, but right now he's featuring.
Without a doubt. So, he, as much as we respect him as a player,
mm-hmm.
there's those unwritten rules that he even has to respect that maybe
he was
he's
a head
not.
Coach. He was a head coach at PSV.
Yeah.
He knows.
So I don't know. I mean, you know, this.
He does look good in a suit, though.
He does look great. This is,
and maybe that's okay.
You know what's weird is that the first game that he was managing, honestly, that was literally the first thing I thought. I'm like, yo, he looks good doing that job.
He looks managerial.
Let him just do the job.
He does.
He looks good doing
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I agree with you. He looks like the actor you would hire to portray a manager for, like, if you're doing an ad for like a watch,
yeah, but without a doubt,
or
a very manly Dutch cologne,
or like a race car. You got a car, you got a fat, like a sports car coming out. This is the guy,
without a doubt.
Do the Dutch make sports cars?
I don't know what they're like focused on, what they trade in particular, but they, but yeah, and it's weird. I didn't think of that,
but it makes sense when you hear it.
Until you just said that.
And then you're like, yes.
Yeah, then I understand why there might be some like sort of rule of like, yeah, don't dress the part,
mm-hmm.
because you're the interim. You might make it look like you're supposed to be the main guy and it causes confusion.
Right. Like if your boy was like, yo, I know you can't drive your wife to the airport. I'm heading that way. I'll take her. And you're like, all right. and then he pulls up in a limo with a rose, you'd be like, "What?"
Okay, this isn't what you.
I don't think. I'm not saying that what you're suggesting. I'm just saying the way you're dressed and what you've brought to this.
Exactly. Yeah. It just
gives
like,
me a different idea.
Is this a date or what? No, I'm
like, y'all going to the airport? Are you also flying that day?
You know, same thing with like, you know, divorced couples, like with their parents. And then it's like, you don't want the stepmom to buy you a PS5. Like, let me buy the PS5.
Exactly.
Because you're going to make it confusing for the kids.
Right. Now you're making it hot. You're making it hot for me.
You're making it look like you, the preferred parent.
Right.
And we can't have
that. You just got here. You're not at buying a PS5 level yet.
So
that's interesting, though.
It is an interesting detail. But
let us know what you guys think.
I mean, as far as how the team
put it all in there.
How the team played.
Not great.
In the Premier League.
Okay. I mean,
they had the Carabao Cup match that they looked great, but yeah.
But that Caicedo goal was amazing.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to credit them. It's just, again, this is, when it comes to Premier League matches and Manchester United, there's clearly just like this fundamental problems.
Yeah,
And roles. I think some of the players maybe, you know, Either players like Christian Eriksen, Casemiro, just having these, you know, a lot of times this is the, not to say that they can't handle the speed of the league, but that's sort of where my concerns are not in the quality of the players themselves. It is just like sometimes they don't look like they can all keep up. That's really it.
I almost believe it's a problem with the way they were being coached. That to me is it. Because these are all players that, like, if you put them on another team, Garnacho would be amazing for Nuno. Bruno Fernandes for Nuno. I don't even know who that is. Bruno Fernandes would be great. A lot of these players would be great on other teams. Seems like when you bring them together, whatever the tactics they were, there's only so much time that Van Nistelrooy has to, like, change stuff up.
Yeah, and they were doing... Rashford looks lost. He looked lost in this game.
That shot in front of goal where Bangs, what is it, off the crossbar? Off the crossbar. The post on the corner.
Yeah, it's...
ridiculous. He was so casual about it.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Bro, try to score, dog. It's been a minute.
It was a good chance. He probably should have put away or at least got on goal.
What's the term the British use? More conviction. He should have had more conviction.
But even throughout the entire game, the long balls to Rashford that they were trying to get to him, just even the... It just... Not only does he look like he's just lacking some confidence, but even whatever tactic they're using to try to get him the ball just like didn't work. There were like four long balls that just got cut out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so why keep going to him? He just looks lost. And I think he was, did he start on the left and then move to the right? I don't remember exactly.
When he missed that shot, he was
on the right.
Right.
Yeah. But no, didn't look great. I think it's a bigger...
Garnacho not tracking back. Did you see Casemiro yelling at him?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just this is
it's ridiculous.
Amram has a lot to work on. All right.
Also, go get a good suit, dog. This dude's trying to take a job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wonder how Amram is going to...
He wears like Air Force Ones on the sideline. He wears like...
He pulls out the Greg Berhalter stuff. Like
He got more of like a Nagelsmann fit. Like cool jackets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's going to be wearing a lot of the Adidas throwback.
Sure. Merch. I mean, yeah. Nusseroy, the Dutch style is a little bit more.
Amram, like, yo, y'all corny, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Can't be out here in no hard shoes.
So, all right. Should we move on? We'll move on to MLS playoffs. We're going to take a quick break, but we got a lot of wild matchups in Major League Soccer.
But don't fast forward these ads. Listen to them because that's why we pay our bills. Okay?
Very important. All right. We'll be right back.
All right, a lot of stuff happened in MLS. You know, I think what's important in playoffs, right, especially because there's the three-game series is difficult, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think what you have to do is you have to button down on a pattern. You have to find what little details help you win. It could be anything. It could be anything from, like, maybe a fullback that's playing out of position or maybe who you bring in to do the coin toss. Anything. I'm just saying it's anything. It's those little important details.
That could make a difference. Exactly. Yeah.
Who could I possibly be talking about?
I didn't know we were going to start there, but I'll get to it. Yes, we teased it last episode, but your boys doing the coin toss at an MLS playoff game at Citi Field.
This is real.
This is 100% real, not AI. You see us there. I'm holding the coin. I'm here with Lucho Acosta and Thiago Martins, captains of, for each club. And what it, right there, we're seeing it. Who wins the coin toss?
The Cooligans. That's who wins the coin toss.
The Cooligans win the coin toss.
Now, might I add, there's a cool, there's a fun video before this of a little Rochambeau.
Okay. Maybe
the rock, paper, scissors.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I'll find it somewhere.
Don't,
but
don't
yeah,
worry about it. We do rocks, paper, we rocks. Rock, paper, scissors. Uh-huh. And I win, right?
Yes.
But then I immediately thought, if we lose the coin toss, it's going to be my fault. I can't have it. No, I thought to myself, I'm going to flip this thing into somebody's eye. I just know myself. Mm-hmm. Also, for some reason, I think I would have caught it and put it on the back of my palm, which you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to let it drop to the ground. So I said, yo, Chris, I want you to do it.
Yes, I
had. Yo, you did a tremendous job.
Thank
bro.
You so much. I hope I made the Cooligans proud. I hope I made all the fans proud. Right. But this is how the game, we just can't lose sight of it. This is how the game began.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we
W before the first whistle.
Also, you got to keep in mind that we just shook hands with Thiago Martins, mm-hmm. Captain for New York City FC. And then what happens? He scores his first goal for the club in that exact game. So, look,
I just want to bring this up again. Who did we touched physically, hands with?
Uh-huh.
Thiago Martins.
Correct.
And then what did he do?
He ended up scoring his first ever goal.
In what?
In the playoff game against FC Cincinnati.
I think that's all the evidence we need, bro.
So, I'm just saying, we were talking about this.
Also, what did I say to Lucho?
Oh, yeah. You told Lucho.
This upset all the referees. By the way.
First, you said a couple things, right?
Yeah, okay. All right. We don't have to pull all the receipts.
Just go through everything you did say. Because you said, as soon as they handed me the coin, you asked the referees, how high am I supposed to throw it? Which I'm pretty sure no ref has ever been asked that. And then
the guy to my right, so obviously Thiago Martins is first, but then that guy gave me the stink eye the entire time.
Refs take their job pretty seriously.
Which this is a playoff game. This is an important match for them. And here comes a couple guys making jokey jokes.
Also, I don't know, you can't really hear it in the video. But Lucho also said something to the referee that I found to be interesting. And I think it just highlights that how much impact referees have on the game and how much how important relationships from the
this is hot. This is even I don't know this.
And I couldn't make it out exactly to what he said because it was pretty loud in the stadium. But we're looking, let me see if I can find the exact sort of moment. I think it's right at the beginning of this video. Lucho is saying something to the referee. You see? He just says something to him, but he does a little bit of like the, and I don't know if this is what he said, but he was also speaking in Spanish, and it just felt, the feeling that was conveyed in how he was speaking was a little bit like, yo, you're gonna call this correctly, right? You're gonna
Well, to give a little bit of background, Thiago Martins took a bit of a minute to get there. So it was just Lucho with the refs. Which
yeah,
I
yeah,
say,
yeah.
Never leave Lucho with the refs. You don't want to leave an Argentinian guy just with the refs.
They're going to influence it a
right?
little
they're
bit.
They're going to try to sneak in a little sum. You need to be there to make sure it's not happening. But I see what you're saying.
He just did. And it wasn't anything nefarious or anything, but it was just a little bit like, yo, I'm going to charm him a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
yo,
yeah.
you're going to do this right, but it's not like last time.
Right.
You're going to correct it, you know. It was just a
you
little
be on your game today.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
It was a little bit of that. And I, you know, I'm there in my New York City FC shirt. I'm like, yo, bro, stay away from the ref.
Nah, man, he's calling all red cards on all of y'all.
So I just think it's interesting that all those little factors, even before a ball is even kicked, like the game is being played.
Yeah, already. They're trying to win in the margins. In fact, when we were first walking up, there was a camera on us. We were on the Jumbotron.
Uh-huh.
As we're walking up, the camera's behind us. The players are just finishing giving high fives.
Yeah.
So we're seeing FC Cincinnati come around. And I was like, let's go, fellas. And DeAndre, yeah, then he knows us.
Yeah, yeah.
He knows what
well,
we're about.
He's been on the show. Friend of the show.
He knows what we're about. He looks over with a big smile on his face. And I go, not you guys. The other guys.
Which is, he went from a smile to a scowl very quickly.
He gave me the... Yo, why are you saying that to me?
I'm just saying, like, yo, we get in the players' heads, yo.
Bro, I'm wearing a New York City FC jacket. There's like seven logos on my person right now.
Shout out to LBF for the the Anorak jacket.
But so that's how we first walked up there.
Correct.
I also forgot we were supposed to take a group picture. You see me start to walk away, and I'm like, everyone's holding.
We got to get that photo. I got to ask them.
We need that official. That's got to be up right here on the wall. Yeah,
that was a surreal experience.
Oh, and then I told Lucho, I'm like, hey, take it easy out there.
Take it. You did say that. Yeah.
And what'd he do? Took it easy out there. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, Carter. 100% win percentage when we toss the coins.
So we
disrupt the flow.
Exactly. So look, we're the different players contribute different things to a game.
Maybe you can't do it on the pitch.
Exactly. But we did it on the pitch.
We did it on the pitch. Maybe you can't do it when the whistle blows. But try to get in the heads before. That's what we're here for.
So I just want to kind of pat ourselves on the back a little bit because, bro, I mean, that was quite a performance.
You know what? I want to thank the fans. You made this possible.
Without a doubt. We wouldn't be here without you. But that was...
Actually, not the sidetrack, but we got to meet... We've been doing this for a long time, but the first thing we ever did before a podcast was a video. We did some man on the street stuff.
Correct. Yes.
After a game, and a guy walks up to me in the suite that we were in.
Uh-huh.
He goes, "Hey, you're the Cooligans, right?"
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "You guys are the Cooligans. I know you guys. Do you remember me?" And that's always a dangerous thing because I'm like, "Oh, did I say something disrespectful and like joking around or something?" He goes, "You once interviewed me and his friend.
Yeah.
Before." Are they seeing this now already?
So this
was literally the first video we ever did. This is the first Cooligans anything. Uh-huh. This was the birth of the Cooligans. You could tell by the terrible fit I'm in.
Looking back at this, I'm like, what? Who the hell were we? You know?
Yo, we had no reason to be anything.
Alexis in shorts, which is also, I haven't seen you in shorts.
This was also an extremely hot day.
Yeah, this is in summer 2015.
Yeah, summer of 2015.
Like August.
Yeah, towards the end of the summer, I have zero money at this point. The only reason I have that scarf is because they sent it to me for the preseason.
Yeah.
Season ticket holder box. But we just randomly asked this dude. By the way, we're filming this on a GoPro on tripod.
On a tripod.
So it looked like there's no camera on a tripod.
it just looked like an empty tripod.
Yo, that is my microphone that I got for free because I bought something else. Like, we had no equipment. We just figured out a way to cobble it all together. And we just stopped these guys. That's a British dude pushing the stroller. We asked them a couple questions.
He's got a wheelchair.
My bad. Pushing a wheelchair.
Not a baby, bro. The guy has a broken leg.
Yeah.
He was at the game and his friend is pushing him in the wheelchair.
And we just asked them some fun questions.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy remembered. Apparently, this photo is like infamous in group chats.
Ah.
Whenever he gets like drunk or something, he told me like people will put this photo up that's him the next day.
Yeah, he is also holding four empty
commemorative cups.
Remember how important
these cups were when the team first started? And yo, he happened to be in the suite. The British guy standing behind him happened to get tickets in the suite for this game.
Yeah.
And he was like, dude, I was a broken leg. I was in one of your videos. I go, dude, you were like in the first
video. That was literally the first piece of content we ever made as the Cooligans.
The only reason I'm wearing these terrible sneakers because they're the only blue sneakers I owned at the time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's pretty wild. The glow up is real. Go to Alexis's ISO, bro.
We done changed it up,
a
bro.
A lot has changed. All right. Alexis is a new man. He's wearing shirts that fit him a little better now.
Not really. That's a double XL. I just lost weight. All right, we don't have to show the kids.
Nah, bro.
I think that was laundry day, which is why I don't have taller socks on.
The backwards cap.
No, that was because you couldn't see my face, remember?
Oh, that's right, because we had no lighting.
We had no lighting.
Anyway, incredible
May
time.
May that fit die, along Crying. With the memory of this video.
Incredible time at Citi Field. Big win for New York City FC. All right, a couple other. We got to talk about Inter Miami and Atlanta. They're going to a third game. The goal that Atlanta gave up, one of the most...
Is this where Brad Guzan's body just fails him?
Which I cannot comprehend. And maybe this is... I don't know what the conversations were like on Morning Footy about this, but this is... I saw a lot of former players, as Hercules Gomez basically said, this is 100% a foul. There's no reason.
Where did he get touched? I didn't see him touched.
That's the problem, that he did not get touched at all. And we're watching this back. And Guzan is Redondo is close to him. He's in the way.
Wait, is that why he stops so he doesn't kick Redondo? Yes,
but he stops and drops the ball in front of Redondo to pass it off for basically a tap in of a goal in an empty net. And you can see Guzan, he's clearly upset. He's like, hey, I didn't want to. I wasn't trying to follow
him. Old guys are talking to the ref. Look at this. Dax and Guzan.
And it's just.
Go back to that beginning. Because does somebody maybe hit him and we just don't see it?
They'll show the. We're looking at it here clearly.
Is it the Hezzy? The flinch?
Kind of. But it wasn't even that much. So I can understand why the ref doesn't call it because
You know what this is? This is a smart play by Redondo is what it is.
He did enough
without touching him.
And where you can't say, hey, I didn't touch him. I didn't follow him.
You know, this is like if you say like, yo, if you touch your sister like one more time, we're going to go back home.
Okay.
And then you do the finger in the face. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
I'm not touching you.
This is that level.
You're not bothering your sister. Yeah.
Like my mother would be like, you're breaking the rules. I'm going to hit you anyway. But in a court of law and in MLS refereeing, technically that's not a foul.
So I by the spirit of the game,
and he does it right when Guzan looks.
He
just gets that peripheral fear.
He gets, look, in my opinion, this is on Guzan.
100%.
This is why.
You've been in the game too long,
You've been playing too long. If the guy's in the way, you kick the guy. That's the foul on him, not you.
Yeah, exactly. You go and follow through. Just to show him, don't do that again.
Hey, this is my bubble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get out of my zone.
Right.
And so I put this on Guzan because you tell the referee, hey, you decide here if I think this should be a foul. And Redondo is not doing enough for me to say.
He didn't cross the path.
He didn't get in front of him.
Yeah.
He didn't touch him.
This can't be a foul.
He made him a little nervous. That's all he did. At most, you could say Redondo, he just made him a little scared.
If he falls to the ground holding the ball and he was like, yo, he was coming in my direction, you could have a conversation.
Yeah.
But to let go of the ball like this.
So look, and luckily
this is the oldest he's looked.
Luckily, this didn't determine. This wasn't determine the game, and Atlanta ended
up
winning.
Did you ever see the woman in like a really nice like evening gown fall down the stairs in a knee slide?
I've never seen that.
It's gone viral. That's kind of how he falls.
I've not seen that, dude. This is a. Just such a poor decision. And look, luckily, it didn't, again, it didn't affect Atlanta.
They still won.
The game. They still won off of the Zonde Silva goal.
Shonde Silva.
Just a great goal. Very, very confident. Poor giveaway. I think Kremaski gave the ball away right in their own half and ended up leading to the goal. We sort of all expected penalties and we kind of all expected Inter Miami to win. But credit
go back to Florida.
Go back to Fort Lauderdale. Credit to Atlanta for not only in this game, but Messi, they've pretty much shut him down. He has one assist from the goal that Jordi Alba scored, that banger. And which he really didn't do much to create the play or anything like that.
Somebody needs to tell him, like, yo, Supporter Shield isn't the league.
Bro. I know, right? I know you in the Club World Cup already.
I know,
but
you still got to win this joint, bro.
There's a couple of other things going on. Credit to Atlanta because they in this game,
the tactics worked.
Tactics worked. Messi was trying to like do the Messi, the 1-2s with Busquets and Alba, and just really couldn't find much space to do anything.
Bro, playoff MLS, bro.
So
anyone could get got.
So tactically, you got to give it for credit for Atlanta and Rob Valentino for shutting down Messi.
Just the Bobby Valentino.
Bobby Valentino, was that a rapper?
No, it was a singer.
Singer, okay. I don't remember.
But he had that. I can't remember what song it is.
I don't know either.
Come on, Bobby Valentino.
I know.
I bet you Spotify got it. Can we play it? Like 2 seconds of it?
Maybe 2 seconds of it.
All right. Well, anyway, while you do that, so they go back to Fort Lauderdale and Messi has to show up. He has to do something because they both games, especially this game, I mean, 70,000 at the stadium. It was entertaining. I mean, even with the mistake, they found a way. And so a lot of credit to Atlanta.
I'm thinking of somebody else. It was slow down. I just want to get to know you. But don't turn around.
Oh, yeah. That. Who sings that?
That's Bobby Valentino.
Oh, that's Bobby Valentino. Okay. Why? I thought that was Ginuwine or something like that. Anyway. Okay. Next up, Columbus. And
speaking of anyone could get got.
Bro, Wilfred Nancy, who's everybody saying, well, you know, coach of the year and loses. They lose to New York Red Bull in two games.
Might be getting a shot in Europe. Potentially.
Yeah, what was the team?
Wasn't it a French team?
It was a French team. I forgot which one.
Was it Rennes?
Don't remember which one, but rumor maybe Brest, Carter could confirm.
Was it Brest?
But this is probably the biggest shock in these playoffs.
I would say so. The reigning champs get knocked out in the first round.
By Red Bull, by especially. Red Bulls, yeah. That first game.
Who played well.
Gutted out a 1-0 victory. Mm-hmm. They looked like they were going to, you know, that's so Metro it up. In that second game.
Even in the Pens, bro.
The Pens.
When J-Mai misses the first one, I said, bro, so
not only did he miss the first one, but that was one of the worst penalties I've ever seen.
Horrific.
It was straight down the middle,
right,
with power low.
It's like he asked, which way you diving? And I'm going to put it.
Like objectively, yeah, a really bad pen. Just say at least hit it up, yeah, hit it higher up on in the goal.
Try to get it past the keeper. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Or at least not in the keeper's range.
Yeah, not a great, not a great penalty. But Cornell comes up late.
It's three stops in a row.
Yeah. He with enough pens, he started like kind of figuring it out. He was
momentum was shifting back and forth here.
He was diving in the wrong direction, but you notice in the Columbus penalties. I forgot which penalty taker. I forgot the exact order, but there was something to the one that would have won the game for Columbus. I forgot who took it. But
that's the previous match.
Yes. The one who took that penalty. It was the run up. Even as
not Shevchenko.
I forgot who it was. But the run up was like telling me he ran at the ball with such pace and confidence.
Too much gusto.
That it was like, oh, this is probably going to go to my left. You know, Coronel's left. He was like going to the right. And then you sort of saw it again in the next taker. Like, it was like there was a little bit of a give. I don't know. I'm in hindsight, it all looks like.
For me, in hindsight, there was too many to the left that just touched the post.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Cujo Hernandez was like, He was like, oof.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost missed that one.
So he was, I'm just saying that Cornell was like picking up on,
yeah,
on just the rhythm of the penalty takers. And credit to him. I mean,
credit to the Red Bulls, man.
This was, again,
they made it messy.
They did. But the, Christian Ramirez tying that game late off of the corner. Again, it just felt like they were about to, give up a huge opportunity for themselves. But no. The Rebels winning puts them in a great position because they face the winner of FC Cincinnati and New York City FC.
Yeah, so we could have a Hudson Derby.
We could have a Hudson Derby playoff at home.
Single game elimination.
Single game at home. So, and this is another interesting detail. The game, I believe, is scheduled for November 24th.
Which both Citi Field and Yankee Stadium are busy.
Yes, weirdly. So Yankee Stadium has a Notre Dame match. Mm-hmm. Citi Field has a circus, but that the circus is in the parking lot, so it does not affect the use of the actual stadium. So it looks like if they do end up playing that game, it will be at Citi Field.
But
there will be a no, it will not be at Rebel Arena.
Could you imagine New York City FC has to rent out Rebel Arena?
No. They will do everything
as a
possible.
Home stadium.
They'll play at Icon Stadium before
they do that. Yeah, 100%,
bro. But the interesting thing,
they'll play at MetLife, bro.
There will be a circus outside, and this is not. I'm not making some sort of statement.
No.
There will be a literal circus.
Actual circus. You'll see a Ferris wheel
outside.
Or a big tent outside.
In the parking lot of Citi Field.
Only in America, bro.
So, you know, you can maybe ride a donkey into Citi Field if you want.
I'll tell you this much. If you're New York City FC, don't change too much. Like, have me and Christian do the coin flip.
I'm just saying. I mean, we got a good record going so far. Yeah. So that'll be an interesting detail. And we'll see what happens in that game is on Saturday, the game three against FC Cincinnati. Yeah. The other one, a very impressive result. I was going to mention real quick, LAFC losing
Vancouver,
to Vancouver.
Vancouver. Sartini is the Ange Postecoglou of MLS.
Okay.
This dude's like, how many we have? I don't care. We score more. They're like, yo, you know there's no aggregate. He said, score more, dog.
Man, he's becoming my godless king.
Yeah,
bro.
For real.
I love his energy.
Shouts to all the agnostics out there.
He's great. But the Ryan Gold, I think the big story here.
He's the star.
And someone who, there's something that happens.
Fafa Pico also was balling,
Fafa was great, too.
Shouts to Fafa.
Dude, I actually hit up Fafa after the game against Portland because remember the Ryan Gold chip?
Yeah.
And I just hit him up. I was like, yo, congrats. And I said, like, yo, the Ryan Gold goal, you lost your mind when you saw him celebrating.
Yeah.
He was like pulling Ryan Gold's shirt.
Yeah.
And but so he told me he was like, no, he basically said, like, no, this motherfucker did not just chip the keeper. That was his reaction on the field,
yeah.
Which I love that even while you're playing with your teammate, you're like still a fan as well.
Oh, that's the best.
So it was great.
They seem to have good vibes in that team.
Sure,
so.
But no, the win against LAFC, and I think it says a lot again about playoff format, because once they were down, I think 3-1 or whatever, you sub out the players and you're like, all right, game three.
Yeah, because there's no aggregate. This doesn't matter.
I think it also
fun.
Brings up the question, and maybe we'll see what happens in the third game. But I think, as of right now, Olivier Giroud is a detriment to LAFC. He has not made them better. And he looks, you see the frustration. He's not really getting the ball where he wants.
Yeah.
Not doing, I'm just like.
Maybe this team isn't built to have a back-to-goal center forward?
I don't know. It might be built for... lob the ball up.
Let Denny Bouanga do what he do.
Or Kai Kamara.
Kai Kamara. Yeah.
What was the Lob City? The Clippers. So yeah, that was another entertaining game, and Brian Gall I thought was great. And then the last thing we'll talk about is obviously Houston is eliminated. Also Minnesota moves on in penalties, and yeah, Dante Clair was great.
Ache back
spitting on like at his feet behind his back.
Walk past him, turn around.
He fouls a player, clears the dude's legs out. And then spits at the ref after he gets a yellow, which is like a joke, bro. Like, what is he surprised about?
Yeah, he did the why. Yeah, I didn't do nothing.
I just completely took out this dude's calves, upset at the ref, and then right there you see his spit. When VAR looked at it and gave him the red, he you could see him saying in Spanish, "No te escupí, no te escupí." I'm like, what are you? He's saying, I
what
didn't
era
spit,
do
I didn't
you
spit.
Think this is? There's 4K cameras all on you.
This is the thing that's telling. Right there. He spits.
Yeah.
And his eyes, you know where his eyes are. He's looking straight at the referee.
Chocolatazo.
And this is, I mean, unacceptable. And you know, it's not about just like deriding him or whatever, but he knows better. And this is
you're the leader on the team.
I looked at this and I'm like, bro, you literally get paid too much to do that.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for it.
And I get that it's frustrating. The refereeing has been upsetting a lot of people. You can't. That.
And spitting is one of those, like, it's unforgivable.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he didn't spit in the dude's face. I get that. But spitting is, there's some.
That outside the stadium, you do that in front of a bar, dude's fighting.
Yeah. There's just this, you know, as far as how human beings treat each other, spitting at the other one is literally one of the worst things you could do.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. As far as like, yes, it's not.
It's just a massive sign of disrespect.
Yeah. So just absurd. So. And Houston's out, and now I'm sure. Yeah, he gets a red card for it, so he's obviously going to miss the initial
first,
game.
What, three games of the
next
season?
Yeah, but he's going to be suspended for at least one or two more games because just absurd behavior. Anyway, all right, we got a couple other things to talk about, so we'll be right back to wrap up the show after this. All right. We got a NWSL is now they're done. They're obviously playoffs are starting soon, but they had their final game, their final matches of the season.
Got them balled out, dude.
Yeah, even though they ended up in third, because Spirit won their game, they're in second over goal differential. But no,
I actually think they ended up in the better part of the bracket.
The Thorns are nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, but the other one's got Casey Curran, Orlando Pride on the other side.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that makes sense. But yes, we got to highlight one match of the season because Bay FC, who qualified
this also hurts us
for the playoffs.
This happened against one of our friends.
So, Rachel Kundinanji, the striker for Bay FC, went up against the Bay FC's facing the Houston Dash. Mm-hmm. And this is in Houston.
I've never seen this done in American sports, in American soccer.
Really?
I've never seen this move.
Maybe, yeah.
In regulation. Now, this is something common if you're ever like on TikTok and you are a soccer fan, or if you're ever on Reels or something, uh-huh. You'll come across African League games.
Sure.
So league matches happening in Africa. This is very common. Sure. This is almost like par for the course.
Or even those games in Africa where I don't know what specific country, but I see them a lot on TikTok and Instagram of like just people playing in the street. It's like a dirt sort of patch.
Yeah, there's markings.
It's like almost like a Rucker Park game where everybody's watching and everyone wants to see like style and
vibe
moves.
Is why they're there. Like,
exactly.
Don't just score. I need to see like some flair.
Correct. And Rachel Kundinanji is bringing that to the NWSL because she did this to our friend,
right,
Paige Nielsen.
Paige Nielsen, who is a great defender.
Great defender.
You won't notice that from this clip. Sorry, Paige. But she is. Trust us. Take our word for it.
Rachel Kundinanji gets the ball. She is by the corner flag and she does this.
The gaucho, the snake bite.
And this is pretty crazy, bro. To see not only, and I initially, when I saw the clip, I saw from the television broadcast. Mm-hmm. So I saw her stand on the ball.
I didn't see her.
Come at me, bro.
Do you remember a basketball player by the name of Drazen Petrovic?
Yes.
Okay, remember he did that to Jordan? It became international news. No one does this to Jordan. By the way, he ends up scoring on Jordan. That probably the only player that could have competed with Jordan had he not passed away in that car accident. But that she in a game.
In a game, bro.
To Paige Nielsen, this isn't like a, you know, injury replacement defender.
Right. And Paige is trying to defend it. She does a step over to the right.
And then she goozans.
And Paige down on one knee. I mean, she's already married. I'm like, why are you proposing?
Stop it, bro.
You don't need
it. Maybe that's
do
how good it was. She got down. She wanted to, she pulled the thinker out. She said, I need to take a moment to myself.
So you hate to see it when it's one of the homies, but we
said, yo, did Shorty just gaucho me, bro?
We roast the ones we love, and I'm sure she's not happy about it, clearly. But
how did she treat you when she saw you?
Oh, yeah. I saw her in San Diego, and this is right before the NWSL final, and she saw me, and she said, cool again! And she gave me a hug and then a headlock.
Uh-huh.
And Paige is like she treated me like I was her younger brother.
Yeah. She put you in a, what do you think she's going to do now when she sees you, bro? The headlock's going to be followed by a couple noogies. She's going to hit you with the noogies.
So, bro, brutal. But it happens to the best of them. Houston had, you know, obviously.
Stop playing it.
Houston had a rough season. But this is, again, this is just something. This falls on the, like, some people are like, yo, this is way too disrespectful. You shouldn't be doing this in a professional game.
Yo, why so many nerds watching this sport?
You see, I mean, the majority of people are like, yo, this is dope. We need more of this.
Yo, why are you scared of flair, bro?
I think there's a little bit of like the, I think a double standard sometimes of like how people would react if this was in a men's league versus mm-hmm. a women's and stuff like that. I think in general, I remember Richarlison doing this for Everton once. They were winning a game. I forget against who. And he started juggling the ball and did like a around the world or whatever. And he got a strong tackle right there. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it was like, nope.
You're not
doing this.
You ain't doing that next time. I promise you that.
All I'm saying is that this might happen. And if that, I'm not saying don't do the flare, but
right.
Hey, this all it might come with a hard tackle. in this game. That's all. Yeah. It is what it is. I'm not discouraging
next
anybody
time Paige
from doing
sees
it.
You on the pitch.
So we gotta hear maybe Paige's perspective one day.
Love
about
to have
this
her back on the show.
That was wild. All right, the thing we're gonna wrap up with is a wild article in The Athletic from Adam Crafton, who we know. We went to Germany with Adam when we
this
were
is about on, the 2026 World Cup bid.
Yeah, and this it's a great article in The Athletic that I highly recommend everybody go check out.
What a haunted blunt.
We're looking rotation. At a photo of Jared Kushner, Donald Trump, and Gianni Infantino. And the headline is Donald Trump, Jared Kushner, and the race to host the 2026 World Cup. And just a couple interesting points about this, because obviously the U.S., Mexico, and Canada will be obviously hosting the World Cup. And Adam kind of gets a lot of background on, one, how it happened and what the challenges were.
The campaign for the bid for the World Cup was happening during
Trump's administration.
Yeah.
There is as American fans, as an American fan who enjoys the World Cup and the fact that we have it, I you know, it feels gross a little bit to be like, yo, Jared, good job, buddy. Yeah. No, but when you hear sort of the details around it, it's funny because Trump's rhetoric, especially during his administration, and you know, the Muslim ban, the anti-immigrant stuff, like all this stuff, regardless of how you may feel about those things, whether you agree or don't, I really hope you don't, but it's not good for business. The World Cup,
it makes it really tough to have a World Cup if you're not allowing people to come support those countries.
Correctly. And also, you have to win votes by the FIFA member nations. Mm-hmm. And why would they want to vote for you if you're talking about... If
you're talking shit about everyone...
if you're talking about a country, you're like, you want my vote...
I might not vote for you, bro.
I may not vote for you. So yeah. It's interesting because...
Like, imagine you were so dumb as to have someone make a joke about a country you need of their people to win. They might not vote for you, is what I'm saying.
Pretty wild. I mean, yeah. I don't know if Tony Hinchcliffe has heard that, but...
No. He's too busy writing roast jokes right now.
But... it's interesting because Jared Kushner was a huge factor and a huge part of getting the World Cup. And
if you remember back to that first administration, him and his wife, Trump's daughter, played a big part in trying to tell people, like, relax.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And that's kind of what they had to do. It was so apparently it was Jared Kushner and also... why am I forgetting his name? Robert Kraft. Mm. So Robert Kraft is
we've added to the haunting to the nightmare blunt rotation.
So Robert Kraft also did a lot of phone calls behind the scenes and doing a lot of like, no, let me explain what he meant by all that.
See, Robert Kraft is just more relaxed than Trump. I don't know if you can. You get what I'm saying.
I mean, you know, it's a difficult job, and you gotta
gotta find ways to release.
You gotta take the edge attention. Off. Can. So look,
regardless of which strip,
also feels weird to applaud Robert Kraft, but again, he did a lot of the work.
Everyone in DC right now is like, do not applaud that man.
But so there's a lot of details are just like of all those things of having those conversations with with Gianni Infantino, with a lot of the FIFA member nations to kind of smooth things out and say like, no, he didn't mean all that and blah, blah, blah. And they did this was one of the main things that since the World Cup is going to be coming in 2026, they're like, you don't got to worry. Trump ain't going to be president in 2026.
Even if he gets two cycles.
He's not going to be around.
Two terms.
So now the concern now is that, obviously, it's the day before Election Day. And the concern now, especially, well, again, with the anti-immigrant rhetoric, that this is going to make things a little difficult to run a World Cup because there's a couple of things that need to happen, right? The visas. Just people, fans getting into the country. Like, it has the agreement that you have with FIFA is
it's
like.
It's also hard to do that if you start World War III.
That's gonna be a little bit of a hiccup,
kinda
right?
Kind of tough.
So, I don't know how much of a. I guess we'll see how the election goes and whatever, but this puts a little bit of a wrench in like how this World Cup is actually going.
Right. So, if you want the World Cup to be in America. That's all I'm saying. So,
look, I mean, if you need any other reason, we don't try to be a political show necessarily, but I'm just saying, if you're a fan of soccer,
I want it to happen. I want the World Cup to happen.
I don't know about you, but whatever.
Maybe you don't. Maybe you hate the World Cup.
But I loved, there were a couple of interesting quotes. I got to find the one about the Infantino. So Infantino basically said that he told Trump that this is one of the quotes. He says, during a visit by Infantino, in which FIFA president told Trump, "You are part of the FIFA team now." This is after the bid went through and they were successful. So he has to do the glazing or whatever.
Right. You gotta massage the shoulders. But their relationship would sour.
But now he's been talking about it about Trump a little bit. And he said, it says, his relationship with Trump has soured. In a recent radio appearance, he compared the Trump presidency to, quote, being like having someone who's a drunk fraternity brother become president. He added that he had not spoken to Trump since January 6, 2021. I wonder what happened there.
I wonder. Seems almost like something everyone should remember for the go vote.
I don't know. We have to ask Andrew Carlton. Yeah. He might be the only one who knows. So
at a first what is that? First point of view.
Yeah.
First person point of view to this.
So just a wild sort of turn of events, and I think this again just brings up the conversation about, like, you know, people like, no, keep politics out of sports. It's literally.
The whole world's playing the sport. It's kind of impossible.
And the whole world is playing politics within the sport. Yeah. It doesn't. They are inseparable.
At the very least, international relations are important. There's
a lot of factors. So, yeah, even though you might just be a soccer fan, you got to know the UN Charter and everything.
Yeah, you got to know what's happening. You got to don't ask yourself why they're not playing games in Western Ukraine right now.
Without a doubt. All right, let's wrap up there, everybody. Thank you again.
Eastern Ukraine.
Western Ukraine, the games are going on just fine. Okay. That's why Shakhtar Donetsk has to play the games in Germany.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right.
A training ground in Poland.
Yeah, dude, it's wild. So thank you again for tuning in. Another big episode. The coin toss kings just coming at you again, bro. I don't know what to
say. Again, if we're around, you're going to get a W, bro. It's just that simple.
Just give us a coin. Oh, you know what? I just want to bring this up because somebody DM'd this and it was so funny. As far as the name, like what we should call ourselves. Oh, so this is from someone named Natalia on Instagram. And she said, you guys should call yourself currency rotation specialist.
Yo, put it on the CV, dog.
So that's on the resume. Yo, thank you.
Currency rotation specialist.
Bro, that sounds like that's a.
I could get like 3 or 4 bullet points under that in a resume to make it sound like I did something important. Easy.
So, yo, that is a new position. Get your degree. Get your degree in currency rotation. Go to our online school.
Yeah, dog. Yo, order this online course from us. For $2,000, we will show you how to be currency rotation specialist.
Bro, it's a gift that we got. I don't know. We're happy to teach people. All right. Thank you again for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe to the Cool Against Podcast. Subscribe here on YouTube.
Hit all the buttons.
If you're watching, hit all the buttons. Hit the bells. Smash on that bell. We'll be back on Thursday. Looking forward to a couple of the MLS Cup playoff games and everything. There's no Champions League this week, right?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, there is. So we'll talk about Champions League as well. Who pays attention to that league?
It's just a lot going on.
I mean, I know you work for the broadcaster for the game.
Honestly, soccer's 24/7. What a sport.
All right. We'll see you on Thursday, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.